Friends, I've been sharing with you, and we've been looking at the life of Jonah. Jonah, who was called upon to go to Nineveh and to tell them that Judgment Day was coming. The people of Nineveh were to repent from their wicked ways. But Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want God to forgive these people who were the enemies of Israel. And if you recall in Jonah chapter 1 verse 2, Jonah heard the word of God that said, "Go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rejected this, friends. He rejected this and he ran in the opposite direction. He jumped on a ship that was headed to Tarshish, which was in southern Spain. God didn't let Jonah get away with this, and so he sent a huge storm, ultimately leading Jonah to beg the sailors to throw him overboard. So they cast him into the sea after praying that God would forgive them for harming Jonah. The moment Jonah hit the water, the storm stopped. The waves stopped their raging, and these pagan, idol-worshipping crew members came to know God. They worshipped him, and they vowed to serve him. So a great fish is now appointed by God to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. During, friends, this time, he prayed to the Lord. We heard that last week, how he cried out to God. In her book, His Love Always Finds Me, Michelle McKinney Hammond says, in that prayer, he finally got things right with God. It is almost as if we can hear the prayer of repentant Jonah. All right. Who am I fooling? You and you alone are God. My fight with you is fruitless. My stubbornness has become an idol I've clung to, separating me from your grace. You alone have the power to save me, O Lord. Yeah, I sit with no power to redeem myself. Only you can do it. I was foolish to withhold my obedience from you. Instead, I should be offering you a song of thanksgiving for the privilege of being able to serve you. And this is what Michelle McKinney Hammond writes, that Jonah probably cried out to God. And the last thing that happened was that Jonah, we heard last week, was vomited out onto dry ground. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, and the Lord commanded the fish. The Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Friends, now what is Jonah to do? Does God ever use those who have rejected his calling? Does God ever use those who have turned a deaf ear to his word, or who pursued a course of their own choosing? Does God use people like that? Have you ever longed yourself for an opportunity to undo some of the mistakes you have made in your life? We have all made mistakes in our relationship, in our decisions, in our finances, in our careers, in our parenting, in our marriages. We have all made mistakes which lead us to wish we could have one more chance, an opportunity to begin again. In 1878, a lady by the name of Louisa Tarkington was born. And Louisa, she grew up, got married, and she was a well-known poet. And she wrote a poem that many people have read. It's called The Land of Beginning Again. She wrote this in one of the verses that the poem had. She said, I wish there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish griefs could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. I wish there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again. Well, Jonah's experience, friends, remind us that there is such a place. And we find this place in the heart of God when we repent of our sin and we turn to Him. One of the things that is clear in the book of Jonah, friends, is, and really throughout the Bible, is that God is the God of second chances. In fact, maybe it would be more accurate to suggest that He is the God of almost unlimited chances. Jonah received a second chance, and so do the people of Nineveh. And think about how many times in our lives, in our own lives, friends, we have messed up and pleaded with God to forgive us, and then come to the amazing understanding that that God has forgiven us. Isn't that a wonderful second chance? And for me, it's not only a second chance, it's more than a second chance, friends, because God is a God of unlimited chances. Pastor John Ortberg wrote, redeeming is what God is into. He is the finder of directionally challenged sheep, the searcher of missing coins, the embracer of foolish prodigal children. His favorite department is lost and found. If there is one way that human beings consistently underestimate God's love, it is perhaps in His longing to forgive. God is longing to forgive us, friends. Look at the first verse of our text. Now we come to Jonah chapter 3. Verse 1 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The two words at the end of this verse are the only clue you and I have that Jonah ever fell away. That tells us something special about God's attitude towards us and towards those who have fallen away and who have come back to Christ. God never says, remember when? He never harps on past failures. He forgets about it. It's over, friends. It reminds me of Cyrus Curtis. He was the owner of a Saturday Evening Post newspaper. On the sign hanging above his office, said, yesterday ended last night. It was a powerful reminder, friends, that every day is a new day and a new beginning. When in Jeremiah, in Lamentations 3, verse 22, he first said, though the Lord's mercies were, through the word, the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His passions fail not. And in verse 23, you can see, talking about the mercies of God, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I like how the contemporary English version says, the Lord can always be trusted to show mercy every morning. When I read this incident in Jonah's life, I see three things about God, friends. The first thing that I want to point out to us this morning is this, that in spite of your past, God doesn't give up on you. Listen, in spite of your past, God doesn't give up on you. God is amazing. After Jonah disobeyed God and ran in the opposite direction, God still wanted to use him. God never gave up on his plans for Jonah. We serve an awesome God, friends. Amen. He has plans for each one of us, and we cannot fail enough to ever change those plans. Listen to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Listen, God doesn't say, "I knew the plans. You see, guys, you failed so much already, but I had plans. I knew about those plans." He says, "I know them. They are current plans that I have for you, friends." A manager of an IBM project that lost over $10 million before it was scrapped. The manager was called into a meeting at the corporate office. He said, "I suppose you want my resignation." To which his boss replied, "Resignation, nothing. We've just spent $10 million educating you." And when I think about this, that example reminds me so much of the way God works. When we think we have become useless to God, when we think that we are of no worth to God, and that he can't be bothered with us, he simply says to you and I, he says, "There's another lesson for you. Now keep on going. Now keep on going." One of the saddest facts that I think about and I know is that there are millions of people out there who think God has given up on them. They've blown it. They've fallen. And they think that God doesn't want them anymore. Our failures can leave us feeling that God will never use us again, that God could never bless us again, and that we are useless in God's work and to God's plan. Nothing, friends, listen, nothing can be further from the truth, from the truth. That nothing could be further from the truth. But Jonah found out that God gives second chances. Friends, Jonah had failed hopelessly when he was first called to go to Nineveh. But his failure was only temporary. It has been said that failure does not have to be final. And Jonah isn't the only person in the Bible who failed God at one point or in their lives. What about Abraham? In spite of the fact that God promised that he would give Abraham and Sarah a child, Abraham still took bad advice and fathered a child through his wife's servant. He failed to believe God, yet God didn't give up on him. After Abraham came back to God, he still became the father of many nations. What about Jacob? In spite of the fact that he lied to his father and he stole his brother's birthright and blessings, after he came back to God, he was still given the name Israel, which became the namesake of the entire nation of God's people. What about David? In spite of the fact that David committed murder and adultery, after coming back to God, he still became known as the man after God's own heart. What about Peter? In spite of the fact that Peter denied ever knowing Jesus in the presence of many people, when he came back to God, he was used to be one of the greatest leaders in the early church. What about Paul? In spite of the fact that Paul was spent his entire life persecuting Christians and blaspheming Christ, when he came to know God, when he was used to be a great missionary to the Gentiles And he became, with the exception of Jesus Christ, the greatest leader in the New Testament and perhaps the entire Bible. If only people, friends, would understand that God didn't give up on these people in the Bible, that he certainly would never give up on them, that he would never give up on you and I. God wouldn't give up on you and me. What a marvelous and surprising truth we can learn from Jonah's life. So, number one, in spite of your past, God does not give up on you. It leads me to another one. Number two, in spite of your past, God doesn't look down on you. God doesn't look down on you. Let's look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. If you didn't know any better, you would never have suspected that Jonah had ever fallen from God. That's the way God works. When you turn to God after failing or falling, but you are not treated any differently from those who have never failed or fallen before. If it could have been someone else sending Jonah, if it was someone else sending Jonah out again, listen, the verse would probably have read like this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh. But this time, don't mess up like you did the last time. Isn't that true? That's what would have been said. But God never ever said that. God simply repeated that from chapter 1 verse 2 to chapter 3 verse 2. Exactly the same. No change. No throwing out stones. No putting Jonah on a guilt trip. Simply the same thing, friends. Listen, no mention is made of Jonah's mistake. And God looks at Jonah like he did before. Jesus gives us the perfect picture of this in Luke chapter 15. You know the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. The father has two sons. The younger one comes to the father and says, you know what? I want my share of the estate. Then he sets off to the distant country where he squanders his wealth on wild living. And then when the money runs out, so does his friends. And he is now, there's a famine in the land and he feeds pigs. That's the only job he could get. He fills his stomach with the same food that the pig is eating. Now let's look what happened in verse 17 to verse 24 of that same passage. When he came to his senses, this prodigal son said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And yet I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Find a ring. put a ring on your on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's ultimate attitude towards those who have fallen? God doesn't look down on you and I, friends, even if we have failed in our past. And so, in spite of your past, God doesn't give up on you. And in spite of your past, he doesn't look down on you. Leads me to one more point I want to make, friends. In spite of your past, God doesn't hold back on you. He doesn't hold back on you. When the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, it came with the same commission he received the first time. You see, friends, it was God's plan for Jonah to go to Nineveh, chapter 1, verse 2, and it's still God's plan for Jonah to go to Nineveh, chapter 3, verse 2. God's plan for Jonah had not changed. But listen to this. Now, Jonah had changed. You see that? The first time, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, telling him to go to Nineveh. He ran away. The second time, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. This time, he obeyed. Let's look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. I love that. He obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city. Friends, there he finds a city of over 300,000 people going about their business. As he looks around, he sees temples and shrines and statues. These people believed in the sea god and the moon god and the rain god and all the gods you can think of. Whatever they wanted, they made that a god. They were serious about worshiping and religion. However, they became slaves to these gods because these idols were unforgiving. If there was no rain, they assumed the gods were angry. Amazingly, God loved these wicked Assyrians, even though they worshipped other gods. Now Jonah walks into all of this under the command of God, and our verse 4b says, he proclaims to them, he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days, the New Living Translation says. 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Friends, in other words, in 40 days, if you don't repent, God, the God of the universe, who is over all your little gods and what have you, and over all of you, is going to destroy the city and all the people in it. You would have thought Jonah would have been stoned by now. But an amazing thing happens, friends. The people of Nineveh respond to God and they repent. Now wait now. Let's read about it in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. I love the first four words. The Ninevites believed God. What? A fast was proclaimed as revival was going through the city, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Now, let me just say sackcloth was like a fabric, like a burlap or something. similar to that. It was a token of mourning, an expression of sorrow and regret for having done something wrong. Sackcloth was a sign of submission and grief and self-humiliation. And listen what they did. And when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. In other words, we're going to fast now, man. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let them be put on something that is symbolic for being sorry for the way they lived. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, he says, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Man, there's revival going on. People are getting saved, man. Isn't that marvelous? Friends, God uses Jonah in an outstanding way. Revival is going on. God uses Jonah to turn the people around back to God. Jonah walked with God's purpose, walked with God's power, with God's presence, and God gave the people back to him. Listen, God didn't hold back on Jonah, and he doesn't hold back on you and I. Isn't that marvelous? God has no reservations whatsoever about granting full blessings in Christ to someone who has returned to God. He doesn't hold back on them because of their past failures. He never says, yeah, wait now. Remember when? Remember you did that? Remember you said that? No way. He doesn't do that, friends. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't say, I'm not going to bless you because you can't be trusted. No. So what is it about Jonah that made over 300,000 people, including the king, repent? Let me make two quick suggestions. One, this is going to come as a surprise to you, but maybe not. God loves everyone. Everybody say, well, I don't know about those people. Wait. God loves everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all people will repent and come to know him. God is a God of mystery and your own. Perhaps you have never there are people you've never thought would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And perhaps those same people are sitting right next to you now. Maybe you one of them. Friends, God loves us and worked in our lives in a mysterious way. We see it happening all around us. The last person you thought would get saved, they are worshiping God. They are preaching the gospel. You can't write people off. You can't say God is only for us and not for those people. God loves all people. And these Ninevites, they recognize the love of God. The second thing is that caused their repentance is because Jonah looks strange, man. Jonah looked strange. Remember, Jesus even referred to this whole incident in Matthew chapter 12. And by the way, others saw Jonah getting spit out on the beach by a fish, and his reputation preceded him. You know, news travels fast. We know that we from Smoky Lake. Right? News travels fast. Imagine the people of Nineveh who heard this rumor. And now they see Jonah for the first time. they see, what? This is the fellow. Now Jonah starts telling the people his story about God's message, the ship, the storm, the drawing of lots, the raging sea, the calm sea, the great fish swallowing him. Can you imagine all he's telling them? And finally he gets to the point and he says to them, and I am here to tell you that God is going to destroy you unless you repent of your wicked ways. Of course, God is God, man. These people repent and they turn to God. And God turned from destroying them. Let's read the last verse of chapter 3. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God is a great God, friends. As we learn more about God, we realize that God not only requires us to repent, but he also wants us to show the fruit of that repentance. In essence, God requires an about turn. That's what the word repent means. Turn around, about turn. Imagine a husband and wife in a car. The wife telling the husband to turn right at the next intersection. And by mistake, he turns left. When he realizes what he has done, he says to his wife, I'm sorry, I went the wrong way. But if that's all he does, friends, it isn't enough. He's saying sorry isn't going to get them any closer to where they want to be. It's getting further away, in fact. What this fellow needs to do is stop the car, turn around, and go back to the correct road that his wife told him to take in the first place. And that is repentance. Did you see that? We can say sorry to God until we blew in the face, but there must be fruit of that repentance, friends. We got to turn around. Let me tell you, during the Welsh revival of the 19th century, there was a great Welsh revival. The Holy Spirit convicted many people of their sin and the need to make restitution. But it created an unexpected problem for the shipyards along the coast of Wales. Over the years, workers had stolen items ranging from wheelbarrows to hammers. As people sought to be right with God, they started to return what they had taken, with the result that soon the shipyards of Wales were overwhelmed with return property. There were such huge piles of return tools that several of the yards put up signs that read, "If you have been led by God to return what you have stolen, please know that the management forgives you and wishes you to keep what you have taken." Now, just imagine if that type of repentance came to our country. Repentance isn't a way of twisting God's arm so that he must forgive us. It is when we are touched by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and we cry out to God, asking God to forgive us, and not only asking that, but we ask him to change us. You see that, friends? To be made into a new creation, into the person who resembles the character of Jesus Christ more and more in our everyday lives. This is what God desires for us, friends. Jonah was a reluctant, bitter prophet. He wanted to keep God for himself. He wanted to keep God to himself. But the call of God and the purpose of our church is to preach and teach Jesus Christ so that others, and yes, even our so-called enemies, turn their lives around and embrace the joy and the love and the peace and the grace and the forgiveness that God offers. We are all called to be Jonahs, to go into our sphere of influence and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ so that others too can experience the amazing forgiveness of God. The last verse that I want to share is Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that marvelous? Do you think that God wants to remove the transgressions of other people? Yes. John Maxwell wrote, "For every possible predicament of man, there is a corresponding grace of God." In other words, for every particular human need, there is a particular supernatural resource. For every definite problem, there is a definite answer. For every hurt, there is a cure. For every weakness, there is a strength. For every confusion, there is guidance. Friends, for every person who has ever failed in their past, there is forgiveness that forgets. There is forgiveness that forgets. God doesn't hold anything back when we come back to Him. I want to conclude by saying, you know, perhaps God is talking to you about one specific thing, where you feel that you have failed hopelessly. I want to encourage you this morning, friends. God's love is powerful and it never forgets. It never changes. It never changes. In spite of your past, in spite of your failures, God's love is constant. When you return to God after a time of running from God, you discover that God's love has never changed. You discover that in spite of your past, He loves you. And because He loves you, He doesn't give up on you. He doesn't look down on you. And He doesn't hold back on you. No matter what is in your past, let's keep in mind the sign that was posted in the office of Cyrus Curtis, which reads, "Yesterday ended last night. As far as God is concerned, friends, that is the truth. God loves you. Let's believe it. Let's walk in it. Let's live it. Amen." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us. We never measure up, Lord. We never measure up. We are way worse than we think we are. We thank you, Lord, that just like you did for Jonah, you used him, Lord, mightily in spite of his failure. You didn't rub his nose in it. You didn't condemn him. You didn't give up on him. You didn't say that he was useless. And Lord, like Jonah, I am I'm worse in so many ways. Thank you that you never give up on me. Thank you that you never withhold your blessings from me. Lord, help each one of us, Lord, because some of us really are struggling, Lord, with condemnation. We are struggling, Lord, with feeling hopeless and helpless. We are feeling not good enough by any stretch of the imagination. Help each one, Lord. Help us. We want to serve you and we want to be used by you, just like you used Jonah and many, many people came to the saving knowledge of God. Bless us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.